Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all getting scared.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
It's showtime, people. Thursday night edition.
Yes, sir. As Rob was saying, again, welcome, America, to Talking Sports with 12th Man. We are kicking it off on an amazing Thursday. Terrific Thursday, I'd like to say. The NFL Combine is going on. Joining to the show are some fellows who I know hope to get that 4-2, but I don't know if they quite get there. But, again, they still cool in my book. What's up? Let's give quick shout-outs. JQ, did you make it on, bro? JQ? Okay. I'm going to try to get JQ on. Hold on, because his parents didn't block
JQ
him.
JQ must
Rob,
be
I haven't seen him, bro. Now, he's not asleep. He's just, for some reason, blocked up, has him on hold. But I'm going to mute him and bring him up. But what's up, man? Rob, how you feeling?
Doing great, man. Ready to get this party started. Time to make it do what it do, baby.
See,
I'm not.
JQ, we get you on, bro? Yeah, there it is. Okay.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I got you.
Okay.
Did you hear my little shout-out to you?
Yeah, I was going to say, I heard all of it. I don't know what's going on with Blog Talk, but, you know, that's how it goes. I pull my best Rob Ford, just slid in under home right when the show started.
Yeah, throw me under the bus, man. What's up with that?
Coming out throwing shots, huh? Man,
come on, man. You know,
Curtis and Gary.
You know how you are.
Good.
Shot.
they were ready in case we had to start the show. They were like, I don't know, Curtis, you on? I was like, Gary, you on? You got to pull us off. But you guys just joined in, man. They were ready to go, though, man. So good job, fellas. We got a lot of things to talk about. So, again, let me set the stage, and we'll let you guys kick us off as we have a great talking sports with 12th Man. But really quickly, the number to call on the show is 424-243-9519. Got a little excited there. The number is always the same. Follow us on Twitter at the number 12, THMAN Sports.
Twitter.
And then last but not least, if you follow us at facebook.com/talkingsports and 12th, you will find us in that arena as well. But we got a lot of things to jump into, fellas. As we mentioned, the combine's right around the corner, a lot of NFL talk. So let's kick it off with that. And I know that as much as Curtis loves to talk about the Patriots, that's the first topic. And where do you think the best landing spots for Tom Brady other than the Patriots? So I'll let you guys kick off with that. Curtis, Gary, you guys have the floor, man. Congrats.
Curtis, you got this one.
There are so many possibilities for Tom. But one of the intriguing ones, because apparently they're still screwing with Dak Prescott, but believe it or not, right now, the Cowboys,
don't say it.
Maybe you go off of Dak if you can get Tom Brady, and you will get Tom Brady for cheaper. And we'll talk about this, if they actually pay Dak, they're probably, if they pay him in the 30s, Cooper's gone. They're not going to be able to handle Cooper. But the good news on that end, they're supposed to have all these super receivers in this draft this year. And we'll see how that works out.
Deep draft for wide receivers.
I think there's two teams that will benefit, you know, and I'm talking about not going to the Super Bowl. I'm talking about money. And the two teams that I think that will benefit, the Cowboys would man, that would be Tom Brady goes to the Cowboys. A lot of radio stations and a lot of people won't ever be able to not have the Cowboys be the first topic. And Fox will probably have the Cowboys on TV every week if Tom Brady goes there.
Oh, gosh.
But the only, and I think L.A., the Chargers, they're having trouble selling tickets down there, is what I'm hearing, with the Chargers. So Tom Brady will fix that problem, and that's probably a great place for his wife and kids, and I believe they have a home there. But I think they're going to get it done in New England. And sad, but from there, Tom Brady comes back, New England is probably going to win that division again.
Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think that you have a team like San Diego. I would dump them. I would dump that Jameson Winston and bring him into Tampa. I don't know. There's lots of places he can go. What about Carolina? He's better than Cam Newton. So, I mean, there's lots of places he could go.
Tennessee.
Yeah, I don't care where he goes. He's probably going to be a solid quarterback this next year. He's not going to be that same Tom Brady, but he's still Tom Brady as a level down is still better than 90% of the quarterbacks in the league, or at least 80% of them. So, but he'll probably re-sign with New England, I would imagine.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, I still think New England is a favorite, even though there's a lot of talk that he's going into it with the mindset that he's not going back to New England. I still think that's where he's going to wind up. But, if we want to play this game about where we think he'll be a good fit if he doesn't go back to New England, I think some teams you can look at here, I look at the Indianapolis Colts as a team. Jacoby Brissett, obviously, started off the year pretty solid, kind of fell down the stretch here. I think that's a team that's got some really good talent on defense and, solid offensive line, really good offensive line, actually, a much better offensive line than what the Patriots have, too. So I look at that's a team that if I'm the coach, you know, they're only paying Brissett $10 million a year. So, I mean, you can afford to go out there and pay Tom Brady. We mentioned the Tampa Bay Bucks is another one. I mean, he can probably go in there and help that ball club too. You look at the Los Angeles Chargers, even though I think Chargers may draft a quarterback in the first round, maybe Brady can go in and help them for a year or two and let the quarterback sit on the bench and develop there. And then also you look at the Las Vegas Raiders, and they're another team. It's no secret that John Gruden is not that fond of car there. So those are the four teams that I would look at if something goes crazy, if something goes haywire with him and the Patriots. You know, I'll start with the Colts, I'll go with the Bucks, I'll go with the Chargers and the Raiders as four teams to look at him possibly going to in the event something goes wrong with New England.
What do you think about the fact that if he goes to the Colts, he will be coming behind. He will be going to Peyton Manning's house. That's
right.
The house that Peyton Manning built. And I'm not really sure he would be into being known as the guy coming behind Peyton Manning with the Colts, even though he's got connections there.
Well,
man, Peyton Manning has been going for 8-9 years out of New England. I don't think they could be worried. I mean, I'm sorry, he's been going out of Indianapolis since what? They drafted Andrew Luck in 2012. So, I mean, Peyton Manning hadn't been in Indianapolis since. There's been two or three quarterbacks since Peyton Manning. So, I mean, to me, if you look at a fit, the Colts are not in a prime position to get one of the elite quarterbacks in this draft. And I think they have a window of opportunity to be successful when you look at how dominant their offensive line is. They got a couple of good backs. They got a great wide receiver. and actually a pretty underrated defense. And I think if you look at the fit there, and if you're not sold on Jacoby Brissett, he could probably come in for a year or two and sustain your organization for a little while.
Well, the one guy that – the one team that, comes to my mind that if you're just looking at just your fit, not where they, not whether or not they can afford him or move stuff around, could you imagine him if he went in and he was playing for the 49ers instead of Jimmy Gubb?
Oh, I don't think that's – boy, that would be hard to do.
Can you imagine that, though?
That'd be
with
hard.
That defense and that team, that would be just – that would be phenomenal to watch.
I don't think they would do that to
Jimmy G.
Let JQ get in there. Go ahead, JQ.
Yeah, I mean, I'm listening to it, and I'm just like, this dude is getting ready to be 43 years old when he starts this season. So all these teams we talk about, I mean, Tom Brady likes a certain lifestyle as well. Is he going to want to go to in Indianapolis? Is he going to want to go Naturals? Underrated a little bit, but I mean, but still, like, I feel like he's going back to New England. I feel just like it's a whole lot of posturing and, yeah, you ain't treating me right and you didn't do me right, and I feel like they'll figure it out. I really do. I just don't know, I mean, where they are. They're trying to finish off this legacy and then get them a younger quarterback. All these places we're talking about, I'm going to give up Dak, who's in his prime, to go get Tom Brady. I'm going to go to the Chargers, who just didn't even make the playoffs, and they've got Kansas City in their division. Like, I just don't know if those other places, in terms of long-term, not long-term, but just right now, where you can strike while it's hot, he's just like the missing link. I don't think he's that guy for those teams. I think he's going to be a Patriot. Like, go to one of those teams and struggle to be 9-7 when you could have stayed in New England and been 12-4 at the worst. Like, I have a hard time putting my mind around that. I really feel like he's going back to New England. I feel like it's a whole lot of bluster and people just, you know, in their feelings. When they get back down to brass tacks and teams start looking like, you know what, this dude's going to be 43 years old. He's going to be 43 years old. Now, I understand he's avocado ice cream and all other kind of wild stuff that he does to keep himself in shape. But at the end of the day, I know how I feel waking up. That dude's born 3 days after me. And he's going to go play quarterback for a team at 43? Nah, man.
Oh, man, you trying to call yourself old?
I am old. I can't imagine being hit and trying to read defenses at 43. And I can't imagine the GM saying, you know what, I'm going to, like, in Dallas, will you let Dak Prescott go or, you know, forego or ask this dude to sit behind him and then watch him be this pedestrian because he's 43 years old and think that he's going to change our fortunes. Like, I don't think there's a ready-made team necessarily that he can go to. Dallas, I think, is the closest, but you now are giving up. Well, how old is Dak? What, 27 or something like that? Like, you're giving up on this dude right now because he's not going to retire if you get Tom Brady. Like, would you do that if you're Dallas and say, well, we'll just believe in the Joneses because the next great quarterback so we can move on from Dak, but we got another one coming down the chute over this year or two that we get from Tom Brady? I just don't see that happening. I really feel like he's going back to New England. Like, that's a lot to ask. If he was 38, okay, you might have an argument. But 43? Before the season starts, he's 43 before the season starts. So we're talking about giving up on younger talent for a 43-year-old quarterback who has shown us diminishing returns in hopes of doing what? Just making the playoffs? And that's not just good enough for Tom Brady. He wants to win. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, and it's like I said earlier, I don't think he's going anywhere else either. But I was saying if we're going to play this game, these are teams I think could be a good fit for him in the short term. And but I definitely don't think he's going anywhere but New England.
I mean,
he's 43.
Yeah, and that's 43, well, that's a good point. But what I'm saying, Tom Brady is the big picture here, and it's a business thing. Tom Brady in a couple of spots are going to sell a lot of tickets, and he's going to put a lot of interest on your team. Tom Brady is going to put a lot of interest on the Chargers. He's going to put a lot of interest in Gruden. He's going to put a lot of interest in Dallas. And Dallas will have a windfall business-wise with a Tom Brady. If he's any good or not, that's not the issue. The issue with Tom is selling tickets.
Yes, but if you're New England, you just and y'all both just spoke about it. This is a very deep wide receiver class, and the one knock on New England this year was what? They didn't have really good wide receivers. So if they say, okay, you know what? We've got a year, maybe 2 years, to maximize Tom Brady. Hey, we sorry, you sorry, we all sorry. Come back here to us. We are going to make a concerted effort to get you not one but two good wide receivers in this deep wide receiver class to come fill this void next to Julian Edelman and maybe a tight end and then let you be you. Like, I just feel like when you have that much talent to wide receiver pool, when that when their obvious need is a wide receiver in New England, why would you leave a situation that you know, an offense that you know? You say, hey, man, we're going to fulfill, we're going to, our defense was good. It was good. Sometimes it was great. So we don't really need to do a whole lot on defense. We need to fill around you. We still got good running backs. We get you a tight end and a couple of wide receivers, and we run this thing back. I just feel like it's a good fodder for, you know, the NFL hot stove, but I just can't see him leaving New England, especially with just the wide receiver classes coming in. Like, you can go get you one or two and make him feel better about it around Julian Edelman. I think you really can.
There it is. I got a trivia question for you, gentlemen. Who was the oldest quarterback to ever play in NFL history? Do you guys know, this, know who that
Steve
is?
Steve DeBird.
George Blanda.
There it is.
It was either Blanda or Dale LaMonica.
Yeah, it was George Blanda, 48 years old. Tom Brady's trying to get that record. Believe it or not, Steve DeBird was actually 44. That was a great call. And Jim Messer was actually 45. This is crazy. But Vinny Testaverde is up there, too, at 44. But I'm just kind of making jokes here. You know, again, that's some fodder. I do wonder in the back of his mind if another record that freaking Tom Brady wants to have to kind of add to his freaking legacy. I want to be the oldest ever to play the game. Keep that in mind, guys. It keeps going. Avocado, ice cream, like that. Hey, Rob, let's talk about the top QBs in the draft right now, man. This is going to be a really, really good draft. I know we're going to definitely spend some time on Joe Burrow. Talk about that here. I'm in Charlotte as we speak, so it's interesting to hear the fodder back and forth. That was literally breaking news was going back and forth, and then they're, oh, obviously Dill was a truck, so they had to stick with Cam. But tell us about the top quarterbacks in the draft and your opinion there.
All right, I'm going to give you my top seven here in the draft. And obviously I still got Joe Burrow number one, and I know there's a lot of talk, and I know we may debate that here in just a moment about the Tua possibly moving up and things of that nature. Seemed like scouts were pretty pleased with where he was from a medical standpoint, and it looks like he's going to throw for, you know, teams in early April here. But I still like Joe Burrow, and I think the difference here, I think what we saw out of Burrow is we saw – the maturation as a leader, and I think that's the thing that's going to set him apart. And then we saw, you know, him playing in a pro-style offense last year, reading defenses, making those decisions, showing great leadership qualities, and showing the mobility as well. He may not have the arm strength as Herbert or Tua, but I think those things, all those other things would outweigh the arm strength, and I think his arm is good enough in the NFL too. So he's still a guy, in my opinion. And not just because he went to LSU. That's been totally objective, I believe.
That's exactly why.
Yeah. And number two might surprise you. Now, I've actually moved Justin Herbert ahead of Tua. Shout out to you guys out there in Oregon. I'm moving. When you look at Justin Herbert, I think he's got the physical tools, the mobilities. You look at his arm strength. I think I still would have liked to see more out of him in college, but I think with the right coach at the next level, he's the guy that's got the most potential here. And I think the injury thing is what's going to separate him from Tua. Even though there's no talk of Herbert moving up in the draft, but the talk is about Tua moving up. But right now, I've moved Herbert up on my draft board, and I actually have him going to the Dolphins in my latest mock draft, so that's one of the changes here. I moved Herbert up to the number two spot, and I still got Tua up there. I got Tua at the number three, and I think, you know, you still got to ask yourself that the talent is there. But when you start to ask yourself, you know, guys that were hurt in college, they typically transition to the NFL and be hurt too. He's still too good of a talent to pass up at a certain part in his draft. You know, at some point you got to take that chance that, you know, he's too good to really pass him up. But I've dropped him down to the number three spot. Jordan Love is starting to get getting a lot of teams rave reviews here as well.
A lot
he's
of
another
love.
Guy. He's another guy I would have liked to see a little bit more his last year in college, but there's no doubt about his talent. The talent is certainly there. And when you start to look at the spread offenses and things of that nature, he's a true candidate for that in the NFL. He's got the size, he's got the arm strength, and he's got the athletic ability as well. Jacob Eason from Washington, I have him number five. To me, a true pro-style quarterback, elite arm talent. And he's another guy that I think could, you know, with the decision-making, if he can improve in that area, the talent is certainly there for Jacob Eason as well. And I could see him going late in the first round in this draft as well. Number six, Jalen Hurts. Had a really good combine workout, too. He really, you know, turned some heads with his passing ability. And obviously we know about his mobility there. I have him number six right now. I still think he's probably a guy that I wouldn't take over a high third-round pick. And right now I have him going 66 overall, the top of the third round to the Washington Redskins. And number seven, Jake Fromm from Georgia. And he's another guy I have going in the third round as well. I have him going number 69 to Carolina in the third round of the draft. So that's where I'm at with the top seven quarterbacks.
And I agree with you. And the problem is that I have is if you're a GM, how confident are you in your job position, your job security? Because Tua, he's you talk about the hip with the Bo Jackson injury, and yeah, you know we've advanced in medical technology, and he could might be all right. But he also has had what's it called, like the tightrope surgery on both of his ankles. We had the high ankle sprain where they put the rubber band or whatever in his ankle. He's gotten both of his ankles, plus the hip surgery. So I'm looking at that like, yeah, he may end up being that dude, but I'm with you. Those kind of surgeries already, you know, three of them in college, and he's already, you know, somewhat undersized by NFL standards. I just can't take that kind of risk in the top 10 if I'm a GM, you know, because if you miss, those first-round picks are golden, especially when you take on a quarterback. If you miss, you can go ahead and start filling your resume out because you're going to be somebody's assistant GM next year trying to get back to another GM role because you're going to be fired. And that's just the nature of the beast. So unless you are really confident and have a whole lot of leeway in your organization, it's hard to kind of make that decision on the Tua. So I can see that happening. Joe Burrow, from all indications, he absolutely nailed his interview with the Bengals from multiple sources. So I think that one is pretty much etched in stone. You just start the draft with the Redskins at number two because Burrow is going to Cincinnati. But I agree with you on those quarterback rankings. I think that's where it's going to fall.
Yeah, and I think the thing with Burrow for me, it kind of goes back to, I don't know if you all remember this story, when Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf were battling for that number one position. I think it was in the 1998 draft, right? And if you all recall, there was a lot of talk. You know, the Colts was having a hard time deciding on which one to take number one overall. Ryan Leaf was very much in the conversation, and obviously so. He went with number two at the very next pick. And the difference, the reason why the Colts picked Peyton Manning over Ryan Leaf is because of his leadership. And you can make a case that Ryan Leaf had the talent there, and it sounds as though that's exactly what happened with the meeting with the Bengals, that Joe Burrow is just showing himself to be a true leader, and I think that's going to be the difference. And, you know, I don't know if you all know this, but the GM of the Colts at the time asked Ryan Leaf, why should we, what are you going to do after if we were to pick you number one? And Ryan Leaf's answer was, I'm going to throw a party in Las Vegas. And, they asked Peyton Manning the same question. If we draft you number one overall, what are you going to do? Peyton Manning says, I'm going to earn it. He says, I'm going to work my ass off every single day. And then Peyton Manning also told him, if y'all don't take me number one, I'm going to kick y'all ass for the next 20 years.
there's a big difference there, isn't there? Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that's a true story, but go ahead, Gary, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I was looking at several of these mock drafts while we were talking about this, one of them has several of them have Tua at three going to the Chargers. And, you know, I'm reading in the in the little print down below. It's because they have, you know, Tyrone Taylor. They don't feel that they would need to just throw him to the wolves right away, that they could actually bring him in, see what they have, and, you know, he would be the future of the franchise. So with that said, I think that he very well could be. I think he's I think the Chargers will probably take him. That's who I have as my number two quarterback. With
Tyrod Taylor's an 8-8 quarterback. I like Tyrod Taylor, but he's an 8-8 quarterback. You're going to play him for 1 year. Like, that's just what you try to do to keep the fans engaged. Nobody's excited about Tyrod Taylor being their starting quarterback. Nobody.
No. But I'm just saying that the future would be this, you know, this Tua, you know. And they're saying that, yes, you know, they have someone there so they could bring him in. And several of these, I'm just reading what several of these, you know, and they're, you know, these guys, it's just their opinion, just like it's our opinion here, you know, as we go through this. I think he is going to go ahead of Herbert in the draft. I think Herbert will fall to the number five and probably go to Miami is where I have Herbert. But who's the guy at number one that I can't remember his name, the guy from LSU. What was his name again? Rob?
Joe Burrow? Come on.
Oh, was that his name? Okay. Anyway, he's probably going to go number one. Go ahead.
Well, I'm rooting for in this draft, I'm rooting for right hooks and left hooks, and let's go, let's make a deal, and let's see who wants what. And I think what I would do and what I'm rooting for, I want Detroit to draft them. I want Detroit to draft two. I do. And I want Detroit to bluff everybody. And right now, Detroit's saying, we're in love with Stafford. And they may well be in love with Stafford. The good thing with that is now we get Tua in our camp, and we got a year. We might have 2 years to sit Tua, get him with our medical specialist, get him on the diet, get him on the plan, get that boy healthy, and then maybe you move off of Stafford. Or, you know, you got a lot of options there. And I'm rooting for Detroit to throw an apple cart or somebody go get them. Somebody go mess with these teams and go get them. I think this is going to be a draft full of surprises. I really do.
Hey,
and we're going to see who really needs this one.
You put the Giants in a seriously catbird seat right there for Okuda, because I think a lot of places I've read that he might be the safest pick in the draft. And I know I'm a homer, but, I mean, I think people really love Chase Young, but it looked like Okuda is a really safe pick. So if he falls to four because Detroit pulls that move, the Giants are sitting like, yes, because their phones are going to blow up.
Yep.
Yeah. The Giants are in a really good spot here. I know we talked about that in last week's show, too, but to me, they are in a really good position to really trade down, because I don't – unless somebody like a Chase Young or, like you said, Okuda falls to them, then the Giants got to think twice about trading down. But if Young and Okuda goes 2 and 3 like the way we currently have them, the Giants – I don't think there's a lot of difference between 4 and 9 or 4 and 10 or 4 and 11 – if there's a team that wants to move up and get a quarterback. So I think the Giants are really in a prime position. But like I said, regardless, they're in a prime. If Young or Okuda falls to them, they're great. And if they don't, to me, they're still great, because they can really trade still down great. And get more picks. And I don't think the value of number 4 to all the way down to 11, 12 is not that big of a difference in this draft.
I think what you just said is the Giants are in a great position regardless, to be honest.
They are. Yeah,
good call, gentlemen. I mean, it's pretty interesting. I mean, from what it seems to hear, like, I really do feel like the Dolphins are really hot on Tua. So unless something changes, I'm kind of curious to see if Herbert goes there. So, again, I'm not knocking what you guys saying, what you and JQ are throwing out there, but it just seems like, you know, they're really, you know, on Tua. So unless something happens, something, you know, some combine, some bad interview, we'll see how that plays out. Because, you know, again, they've got Rosen is not the answer. They got Fitzpatrick not the answer, obviously. But, you know, if anything happens, they can afford to kind of like, you know, rest them a little while if that has the direction. But that may be the two. Hey, Rob, we got about 29 minutes here. Let's talk about the top running backs in the draft.
Yeah, when you look at the running back position here, as of right now, I don't have any of them going in the first round. And I have DeAndre Swift number one, but I am going to second round to the Dolphins. And I know there are a lot of mock drafts got them going in the first round to the Dolphins. I actually am going number 38 overall in the second round to the Dolphins. And not 39 overall, I'm sorry, 39 overall to the Dolphins. I definitely like his power and the speed and his versatility, but I have him going in the second round there. And, I mean, you just have to be a really leap back these days to really go in the first round. And, you know, I started, you know, looking at what Sony Michel and New England took him at the end of the first round, and I'm just not seeing him getting first-round value out of him. And so if I'm any team, I would be safe to wait until the second round. Because is there a big drop? Even if Swift goes in the first round, is there really a big drop off between him and J.K. Dobbins?
No, exactly.
And you look at most mock drafts having Dobbins go in the second round. I think your true value is to wait to the second round before you draft one of these running backs. So I got Swift going 39 overall to Miami. J.K. Dobbins is my second running back. I have him going 43 overall to the Bears. My third running back is Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin. I have him going 52 to the Rams, also in the second round. We look at the Todd Gurley situation there, and, you know, we don't know about his health situation. And I have Jonathan Taylor going to the Rams at 52 overall.
That's a great pick for the Rams.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, running back from LSU, I have him going anywhere between the mid to late third round. He's short, obviously, but he can pass protect. He can catch the ball out of the backfield, and he can run between the tackles. Really tough. He's only about 5'6", 5'7". And then number five, also I have going late in the third round, Zach Moss, running back from Utah.
I can't quibble with any of that, and I agree with you. I mean, we've seen what's happened here in the first round, and you see what happened with Zeke Elliott, negotiations with him being in the first round. And you, I think some kids are going to be gunshot. Like, I'm going to wait to the second round, the third round, like you said, and fill up on these other, you know, in the trenches and maybe wide receiver positions late in the first round. And then you're going to probably see a gold rush start to happen in the second round on those running backs. And that sucks for them because it's millions of dollars they're going to lose. But for teams, in terms of negotiating that second contract, you want that guy to hit. But that second contract versus for a second rounder versus the first rounder is a difference. So I'm with you. I think that's going to happen. You have to be crazy special to get in that first round. And I like, as much as I love J.K. Dobbins, and I think also I was joking about it, but DeAndre Swift is a beast as well. But if you see the trend that was happening with the running back position in the NFL, I can see what you said happen where that second and third round, it's like, okay, let me go get the quick guy, and then let me go get the skill guy and the running back later.
I like it. West Coast, what you got on that?
I'm sorry, what did you say, Dre?
I was making sure West Coast has something to say on that. Go ahead, West Coast.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was saying, I'm wondering how many teams are going to, over these running backs, I see a bunch of teams going, maybe trying to figure in a fullback type for their teams, bring back the fullbacks and tight end before they go at these running backs. But, man, I think L.A., the Rams, they really got to do themselves a favor and have a super plan for Todd Gurley. Because I'm hoping that they come off of Todd Gurley and really take that serious. And I know that's a hard thing for them, but I really think that's an issue. for the Los Angeles Rams.
It's a great pick for them. Oh, my goodness, that's a
yeah.
great pick.
I agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good call.
Let's keep it going.
The only question mark in regards to Jonathan Taylor, how elite can he be as a pass catcher? And how elite can he be as a – but if you talk about a between-the-tackles runner, I mean,
man.
He's definitely a downhill runner, and he's definitely going to give you that element of the game. Now, I know the Rams and their offense, they're going to want him to catch the ball out of the backfield too, and they're going to want him to pass block. And that's just the element of the game. We just need to see, and I think that's the difference between Dobbins and Swift. And you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire can do all three. But I know there are going to be some people worried about his size and his height.
Agreed. But Jonathan Taylor caught more passes this year out of the backfield. And they tried to showcase that for him. And I think they were trying to showcase that for him for his NFL stock. I think he can do it. I just don't think that was necessarily a staple of that Wisconsin offense. You know how Wisconsin is. You know, they want to run between the tackles. They want to pound, and play defense.
Yeah.
So I think he can do it. But I agree. I mean, you talk about a fit and the need for the Rams with Jonathan Taylor. That is a home run hit if he falls to them. I mean, they run cartwheel back handspring to the podium and go get Jonathan Taylor, I think, this year.
That's awesome.
Yep. If you're talking about the Rams, their team that don't have a first-round pick in this draft, obviously because they traded them to get the cornerback from Jacksonville. Jalen Ramsey. Okay. Yeah. I was about to say Jalen Taylor, but I knew that didn't sound right. Yeah, Jalen Ramsey. So they don't have a first-round pick in this draft. So, you know, obviously running back would be a good position there. But you also look at this Rams team. You got to address that offensive line. I mean, Andrew Whitworth is about 89 years old over there, still playing left tackle. He was on three LSU championship teams ago, way back in 2003. We've won two more championships since then. He's still playing. He was on the 2003 LSU national championship team. But at some point, you got to. That's another area now. They had a couple of guys that stepped up on the right side of that line last year at the end of the year. So maybe they're starting to feel better on that side, but at some point you got to address that Andrew Whitworth situation. So and left tackle is typically something that's going to be hard to find in free agency. So, I mean, unless you can get Andrew.
And the second round.
Yeah, exactly. So that's a good point. You know, Andrews Pete for the Saints is a free agent who was playing guard for the Saints, but he can play tackle. So, I mean, that could be an option, you know, if the Saints don't take care of business and keep them. But you're going to be hard-pressed to find too many other guys available in the market that can come in and start for you right away at left tackle.
Mm-hmm. That's
interesting.
True.
All right, Rob, let's talk about the updated mock draft. This is like mock draft. What is this, the 7.352, whatever?
Hey, man,
no,
I lost count.
Keep it going.
Yeah. I'll just go over a few nuggets, just like we've been doing in the last couple of weeks. Top three is still unchanged. I mentioned already that I moved Justin Herbert 5 to Miami. I moved Tua down number 6 to the Chargers. Derek Brown, I have him going 7 to Carolina. Isaiah Simmons, number 8 to Arizona. I know myself and including a lot of other mock drafts have gone back and forth with Judy and CeeDee Lamb. I now have Judy up to 9 at Jacksonville. And I have CeeDee Lamb, number 11, to the Jets. And another wide receiver I have going right behind him, T. Higgins. I have him going to Las Vegas at number 12. Javon Kinlaw is a player to watch, too, with his size and versatility at the defensive tackle spot. I have him going 13 to the Colts. Andrew Thomas from Georgia, I have dropped him down to 15 to Denver. Atlanta, I have Atlanta taking Kalavon Chase on, edge rusher from LSU. Don't want to see another LSU player go to Atlanta, but that's where I have it right now. A.J. Espinosa, edge rusher from Iowa, have him going to Dallas at 17. And let's go over. Henry Ruggs is, I haven't seen his 40 time yet, but he's a guy that was. I'm sorry?
No, I was just saying. I was just commenting. Yeah, Henry Ruggs.
I haven't seen his 40 time yet, but a lot of people were expecting he was going to run a 4.2.
4.28.
4.28, okay. I was waiting to see that.
Yep.
So he did, and they say he's the fastest wide receiver in the draft. I have him going 21 to Philadelphia. Grant Delpit, safety from LSU, I have him going 22 to Buffalo to continue to improve that defense and put him in the secondary with another LSU player, Trey Devon White. And I have the Saints taking Laviska Shenault, wide receiver from Colorado. And I have Miami taking Christian Fulton, cornerback from LSU. Justin Jefferson really surprised a lot of people. A lot of people didn't think he would be able to run like he did at the combine today. 4-4. I have him going 28 to Baltimore right now. That might move him up a little bit because he's got great hands. Mm-hmm. And LSU kind of displayed him as a possession receiver. So a lot of people didn't think he could put on that kind of – had that kind of speed. And they had Jamar Chase as like the deep threat. And so that might elevate him a little bit here in the draft, but I have him going 28 to Baltimore. And let's see what I have here in the second round. Second round, I have Cincinnati taking Curtis Weaver, defensive end from Boise State. And I have the Colts taking Jacob Eason, quarterback from Washington at 34. I already talked about DeAndre Swift to Miami at 39. J.K. Dobbins to the Bears. I have Atlanta taking Solomon Kindley, offensive guard from Georgia. And I have Dallas taking Trey Adams, offensive tackle from Washington up there in the Pacific Northwest. And then I also have Atlanta taking Sean Wade, cornerback from Ohio State at 55. A.J. Terrell, Jamar Chase lit him up in the championship game, but I got only going 62 to Green Bay. Cornerback from Clemson, and also Minnesota taking Cameron Dantzler, cornerback from Mississippi State. I mentioned Jalen Hurts in the third round, Jake Fromm in the third round, Rashard Lawrence in the third round. So just a few other names there in the third round, too.
Yeah, I mean, once those 40 times come in, Henry Ruggs and your boy from LSU, are Justin Jefferson, they're moving up. I mean, you see all Ross go all of this. What was it, like 7 to Cincinnati or wherever it was? They're moving up. I don't think you get Justin Jefferson now with that 40 time with the performance he's put on this year, dropping all the way to 28. The same way that quarterbacks can artificially rise, I think wide receivers can rise too. Not artificially, but just in terms of a 40 time. I think there's been a lot of questions about what T. Higgins would run, and I didn't see what he ran today. So his stock to me is the one that's more in peril because he's got all the size and the length and the ability to catch the ball, but his speed is what people were concerned about. So I can really see those two guys passing him, depending on what his 40 time was today in this draft. But, I mean, Rose going all the way to 21, running a 4.28. At this point, I just don't see that him falling that far. I Philadelphia would hope that he falls that far, but, you know, I can see him and T. Higgins flopping with Las Vegas and Philadelphia in their draft position.
West Coast,
and like I said, I'm looking for aggressiveness from these GMs and teams. I'm looking for some right crawl, and I'm looking for some surprises. And if I'm going to get a pencil and paper, and I'm going to try to make sense of what these guys are doing when this draft comes up this year. So I'm going to be really into. Because this is going to tell me how aggressive and what they mean by when they say they want to play championship football.
Yeah, and it's going to be surprising. You know, the draft doesn't start until the first surprise, right? And we saw that last year when the Raiders took Cleveland Farrell, number 4 overall. Hey, that was a surprise to all of us.
And Daniel Jones.
Yeah, yeah. So Daniel Jones with the Giants, yeah. So we're going to see it. And that's when the draft starts, when you see those first surprises. Now, both of those guys had some relatively, you know, I mean, Daniel Jones wasn't great, but he's a rookie. I think he showed enough promise to justify where he was picked. And Cleveland Farrell also had a solid year. So both of those teams, you know, did their homework, and they fought for those guys. And they've proven, you know, obviously they're just rookies. It'd probably be better to do a true evaluation after 2 years. But so far, they made solid picks based on what we saw from them as rookies.
True.
Yep. Good call. All right, keep this moving here. Good job on the mock draft. You know, Rob, I give you a hard time, man. But, again, I was appreciate you making the hard mock draft, too. So,
absolutely.
Let's keep this moving here.
For the sake of JQ, in the third round, I have the Bengals taking Albert Okwuegbunam, tight end from Missouri.
Nice. Yeah,
there it is.
I'm sure I'm butchering his name.
All right, Rob. JQ, this is your moment here. We got to talk about Joe Burrow. And I guess the question is, are you sold on Joe Burrow? That's the question.
Go ahead, LSU.
Oh, I thought JQ was going to answer first.
No, I want you to go. You LSU, baby. I mean,
it's your team.
He won a championship for you. Yeah, but
well,
he won a championship for you, so you get the first dibs.
I might be a little biased, but I'll probably say this till I'm blue in the face. I think the difference is I think he's a guy that can come in and change the culture of your organization, and I really do believe that. And I said all along, I think it was more so the media trying to buy into him trying to change and go to another organization. And I just didn't think that was coming from his camp. And all indications are now, I mean, he just came out and put a lot of squash to that. And much as I would like for him to go to the Saints, I'm glad that he's not pulling that stunt either. I really am. I really hate when guys do that. But I think he's a guy that can come in and be a leader and really elevate your program, really elevate your organization, and totally change the culture. And as he said the other day, he's 2 hours from going home and eating dinner with his family. So, I mean,
right.
How many people have that kind of opportunity? So, like I said, I may be biased, but I'm definitely sold on him.
Well, I guess I approach it from a different aspect. Not that I'm in love with a Herbert or a Tua from all the conversation we just had. But what you just said about him and what he has is a moxie. And we talked about it where we thought that Manziel had it, flames out. Baker Mayfield, you know, the jury is still out on him. But we like that competitive edge that he has. And he may not have all the intangibles, but that's okay. Tom Brady, Joe Montana didn't have the greatest arm. Hell, Drew Brees doesn't have the greatest arm, but he knows how to put it where it needs to be. And I feel like that's what Joe Burrow has. He has the ability that he may not have the greatest arm, but he understands how to play the game of football from a quarterback standpoint. He knows where to put the ball where it needs to be. And like you said, I feel like he has those intangibles. And if you're the Cincinnati Bengals and you're trying to do a hard reset on, you know, they've been a laughing stock with why do they still have Andy Dalton and having to go through all that kind of piece of conversation about him. Now you're getting an Ohio kid 2 hours away from Cincinnati, the ability to come in and reset your culture and what he did for the LSU program, because I talked about it and I'm not an LSU fan, but anybody that's listening to me talk about our college football, our rankings, and who we think it's going to improve. I've said over and over again that LSU has always been just a quarterback away from reaching the pinnacle, and they got them, and they reached the pinnacle. So, I mean, the proof's in the pudding. They always had a defense. They always had skill positions, but they couldn't solve the quarterback position. And then they solved it, and look what happened. They won the national championship. So if you're the Bengals, yeah, he's got a smaller hand. Yeah, but that didn't stop him from playing in the rugged SEC West and still being able to go win the national championship. So if you're the Bengals at this point, you know, you're almost back into a corner. You got to take that dude. And people might nitpick you after a while about it, but you got to take that dude right now. You just absolutely have to. I mean, in terms of his intangibles and the fact that you're Mike Brown, he's going to sell tickets. And to Curtis's point earlier, what about that money? What about that box office ticket? He's going to do that for the Bengals in a way that other quarterbacks can't do. So it may not be being sold all the way in terms of all of it, in terms of his in terms of him being the prototypical quarterback, but in terms of what he can do for that organization, there's no question. The Bengals have to draft him at this point. They have to.
I second that. And I also want to say that, boy, I hope they wake up that front office, and I hope they support him.
Yep.
And they got to support that man, and they got to put their best foot forward and try to help that man be what you want him to be. They can't be cheap. They can't be petty. They got to be aggressive. They got to go after it. Because I think you got something there, but it's scary because Baltimore's in that division. Pittsburgh's in that division.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, that Myles Garrett is coming back to Cleveland. And if there's one thing Cleveland got, they got a defensive line. That division is no joke.
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe that, Burrow's, they just got to get, they got to get people around them. I don't know exactly what they have there, what the pieces that they have there, but I would say in these next few drafts, they've got, if they knock it out of the ballpark, they can take that. He's that one quarterback that can take that franchise and absolutely move the needle, make them a playoff contender. And that's what, he's going to set out to do. He's a winner.
Well, they got to give himself.
You got to make sure you get him protection. That's the big thing. Give him some time.
Yeah, but I mean, and thanks for the
guy name from Alabama. They drafted him. Missed the whole year last year.
So you get another first round pick this year. Exactly right. And you talk about it. If you can get AJ Green back, you can franchise it. So you get AJ Green. Tyler Boyd is very explosive. You got a good running back in Joe Mixon. They're not bereft of weapons. They have weapons, but they just necessarily don't have the signal caller in Andy Dalton right now in terms of the way Joe Burrow can read it and react with his legs to maximize that talent. So they're not bereft where you put him in like, like the Jets. The Jets didn't have anybody. I mean, before they got older, Bell, who wasn't really focused. But, they've got position players around him on offense at the very least that he can look at and say, you know what? I got A.J. Green. Who walks in and has freaking A.J. Green as their number one wide receiver? Oh, and I also got Tyler Boyd as my second wide receiver. And I also have Joe Mixon as my running back. Like, he has weapons. Now, whether or not they organize an offense and a structure, like you said, an offensive line to maximize that, the jury is still out. But in terms from a skill position, if they can bring A.J. Green back with everything else they have, they're not bad at the skill position players for him to look around and say, you know what, I can make do with this. It's not like he's walking in like, oh, my God, I got to wait 4 years before we can, restock the coverage. He's got weapons.
Yeah, that's
true. Good call.
And you mentioned they're getting the first-round pick from last year back as well to have to help that offensive line. So, yeah, you're right. You're getting two first-round picks coming into your organization. You got a high second-round pick that could almost be like having another first-round pick. If you really do your scouting department does its homework and hit a home run there. You have every opportunity to make some drastic improvement this year. The key is what they can do with AJ Green. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they got to bring it back. And they all indications is they're going to franchise him and try to work out a long-term deal. But they want AJ Green to retire as the Bengals. He's the next Chad Johnson in their eyes. So we'll see.
Okay. All right. JQ, you still getting your Joe Burrow jersey? Is that out there? Is that on order?
Oh, yeah. No, if they draft Joe Burrow, I'm getting that white Color Rush jersey, that all white one. Oh, I'm getting that. That's you can stamp that.
Stamp it is done. All right. Let's keep moving. We got about 6 minutes left in the show. So, Rob, if you want to do some quick shout-outs here. I know we want to talk about should Tua be drafted over Burrow, which I don't even know why it's even on the page. But we'll talk about that. And then anything else, because I know we're going to get close to wrapping the show. We want to get to everyone to bed for the East Coasters here. Go ahead, Rob.
Yes.
6 minutes, Robert Ford. You on. I'll see. Fantasy
uh-oh,
shout-outs
uh-oh,
here.
You on. Real quick. Come on, Dougie.
Yeah, come on.
All right. Fantasy shout-outs for the week. My team, Trust the Process, had an 8-1 victory over Anthony Davis, the new 23. And JQ Team Ohio players still in first place with a 107-45-1 record. Those are the fantasy shout-outs of the week. We're getting close to the nitty-gritty. We're getting close to the fantasy basketball playoffs, people. So let's keep competing and have some fun.
Yeah, that man Rob is on my tail, and I don't like it. We got to play in the last week of the season, and Lord have mercy, that's going to be for the number one seed. because I'm in first place, but it's not a comfortable first place. It's very much a week-to-week kind of proposition right now.
I love it.
I guess that's what makes it fun, right?
I guess you could say that.
I'm just praying I can keep my team healthy. I got Ben Simmons and Clint Capella. I got to get those guys healthy and hopefully have a healthy team for the playoffs. We all have all of our teams healthy. That's what makes it fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, I just want to point out that I'm not sitting out here by myself.
I
want to
add this.
Who you got about?
I want to add this to the fantasy thing. The Oregon Sports Action, which has been around maybe, 3 months? There's a story in here in Oregon that thing's already losing money. I gotta dig into that and see what's going on there and why that's not working for the Oregon lottery, because that's not making any sense to me. So I'll keep you guys updated on that. That Oregon lottery, and it's through the Oregon lottery that they're having their sports action game. And it's supposedly losing money.
And one thing I wanted
wow.
to say real quick is Curtis and I, we were at the International Auto Show, and we had an opportunity to meet with the staff of the Portland Diamond Project, which is the organization that's bringing trying to bring Major League Baseball to Portland. And
right.
we met with their marketing rep, and we asked her if she would be willing to come on the show and kind of give our fans an update on that. Would you guys be okay with that here in the next couple of weeks if we brought her on and kind of started off with that?
Well, definitely.
I'm cool with that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, I'll email her tomorrow. I'll get her schedule. Just let us know when the shows are so I can get that out as soon as possible with the next show time and or the next couple of show times to give her a couple of options maybe. But I think it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Rob, let's wrap. So we got about 2 minutes and 47 seconds here.
Did
I know
you
we got this is last point.
You're going to send the pictures.
Yeah.
You saying something?
No.
I'm sorry, Andre. What were you saying?
I was saying it's time to get ready. We're almost you can get one more quick point in before we get ready to wrap up the show. We got 2 minutes and 20-something seconds here. So, I know we were talking about Shatua be drafting over Burrow with the next topic, but I guess we can kind of have some time to kind of vet the next topic that you want to talk about, and then we get ready for the OT portion and wrap up the show too. So,
I think we've made it clear that Joe Burrow should definitely be the guy, and I know there's a lot of talk about Tua moving up, but I personally have dropped him down to the number three spot, I know we've covered that enough, but I definitely think Burrow is the guy that's the clear number one in this draft, and I don't see that changing here in the next 2 months. But ladies and gentlemen, we certainly appreciate you all tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We certainly appreciate it. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion of the show. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live, so click on the same link, and we'll get the rest of the show to you here for the rest of the week. So definitely don't miss out. We still got NFL. We still got a little NBA. You definitely don't want to miss the rest of the show. Next week, we're going back to our normal night of Wednesday night. I know we threw you for a curveball here the last couple of weeks. Last week we was on Tuesday night. This week we're on Thursday night. Going back to Wednesday night on next week. We're going to be on Wednesday night on next week. So join us, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We look forward to hearing from you on next Wednesday night. Good night, people.
Yeah, I'm just going to say, the Chiefs are still the favorite to win it. I mean, come on, man. They can get rid of Sammy Watkins and still win it. Let's stop playing. As long as they get Patrick Mahomes and a symbol of an offense, they're good. So I'm just going to put my two cents on that. I appreciate everybody for listening to the show. Like Rob said, catch us next week on Wednesday. We appreciate you listening and downloading the links. You can listen to the OT portion as well. I hope you guys have a fantastic weekend. Hope you're not somewhere where it's raining and really cold. Go outside and enjoy yourself. We appreciate you. We love you. Good night.
Good night, people.
Good night, people. Love it. So again, yeah, we're officially jumping to the OT part of the show, as Rob mentioned. And again, so we always call this kind of a free for all. If you want to get your last topic, and now's the chance to do that. So I will let the West Coast do that, and then JQ will get ready to wrap us up too, so we can get some rest here.
You know what? I was praying you went with us. I really was. Thank you very much. So I want to talk about bobsled. I want to talk about bobsledding. Okay. The two-man bobsled or four-man bobsled in the, you know, in the Olympics and all that. You know, these guys, they go around these corners. They're hanging on for dear life. They're tucking their way in, and they fight to the finish line. And I'm sure if they're in that bobsled and they're going 75, 80 miles an hour down that run, I'll bet they're grabbing onto those handles in there for dear life, right? Could you imagine at 70 miles an hour? Well, I'm going to have a colonoscopy next week.
What?
And yes. And
wow.
They're going to give me this liquid that I got to drink beforehand. And I'm going to be sitting on a stool in my house. Mm-mm. And I'm going to be gripping that toilet seat like those guys in that bobsled. And I mean, I'm going to be hanging on for dear life. And it's going to feel like I'm going around some corners. But this thing, but I hope I hope I win. I hope I make that good time on that seat. That's all I'm hoping for.
Hell no.
Hope you guys pray for me, too.
Oh, my gosh.
We're praying for you, Gary.
Awesome. That is awesome. We are praying for you, Gary. Oh, my God. Oh, man. I don't think you can make that up, man. That's crazy. Rob, what you got?
Well, in closing, for me, I totally agree with JQ. You got to go with the Chiefs as the favorite next year when you got a young quarterback like Mahomes, who I personally believe is already the best quarterback in the NFL. You're right. I know Lamar Jackson was MVP, but if I'm starting a franchise, I'm definitely going with Mahomes. Right now, so I clearly think he is that guy to lead them. And unfortunately for the rest of our NFL teams, that's the team we got to deal with for a long time right now, is the Kansas City Chiefs. Is Tannehill a better option than Tom Brady? Absolutely. I still think the Titans would be better off served to keep Tannehill, a younger quarterback, continue to develop him over Tom Brady. And as far as Cam Newton, if he's healthy, he's, in my opinion, still the best option for the Panthers, too.
Yeah.
So if he's healthy, we haven't seen – they're not in this prime draft position to get somebody, and unless they trade up some kind of way. But to me, when you look at the free agent quarterbacks, he's still their best option if he's healthy. Can the Rockets win with small ball in the playoffs? No.
Nope.
I think they'll be good in the regular season. But I still don't think they can win playing small ball in the playoffs. The team that can possibly beat Milwaukee in the playoffs in the East, you got to give Boston the best chance. And you got to give Boston the best. And I think this Boston team will actually be better than last year's. I think Kemba Walker is actually an upgrade over Kyrie Irving. And so I think he's the team. They're a team to watch. I actually think they got a legitimate shot at actually beating Milwaukee in the playoffs too. I think I'm going to lean slightly to a 7 or 6-game series win by Milwaukee, but I think Boston is definitely a better team than they were last year. Who is the MVP this season? I still think it's Giannis over LeBron. As good as LeBron is playing, for me, I think I still got to go with Giannis. And that's all I have. I know that's a lot in my closing remarks.
I got to go with Giannis. I mean, as much as I love LeBron, it's going to go to the guy with the best team with the best record. These dudes clinched the playoff spot when they weren't even playing. I mean, just think about what Milwaukee has just done in the East. They finished the playoff spot on a day that they didn't even play. And you're going to get rewarded for that. Giannis is the best player on the team by far. So, yeah, I agree with that. As much as I love LeBron, it's going to be Giannis. Unless you just get some people that just want to give LeBron in year 17 for what he's doing. And but I think that would be a slight to Giannis. And as much as I'm a Lakers fan, my last point, that dude, Jason Tatum, is taking not a step. He's taking a step and a half and maybe two steps. he is getting to a ridiculous level of basketball that he's playing for the Celtics, and that's part of the reason why I think Rob is so fired up about Boston giving Milwaukee a better a real fight in the East. I mean, he Kemba Walker's playing good ball, don't get me wrong, and so is Jaylen Brown. But Jason Tatum is the engine that runs that Celtics team. And he's going to make Gordon Hayward really expendable. Like, he's just a luxury to have for Boston right now. And if they want to really pull in around that roster and resign a Marcus Smart, they got to find a way to move that Gordon Hayward contract. And I know that Stevens is his college coach and got all that kind of connection and whatnot, but he's a luxury that they don't necessarily need if they can fill in around with other pieces. So I think a lot of that has to do with Jason Tatum's rise. And, you know, he was one of those guys that was really heartbroken by Kobe being gone because Kobe was his guy. Kobe spent a lot of time helping him in the offseason. But as much as I hate the Celtics, respect where respect is due, Jason Tatum is playing lights-out basketball for the Celtics.
Yeah, that Celtics team is really scary. And you hit it on the nose. Jason Tatum is just playing absolutely phenomenal. And then, I mean, if we just want to look at the math, I know Toronto's in the two spot right now, but I firmly believe it's going to be the Bucks and the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. When you look at that matchup here, you got Giannis, but the Celtics got two really good wings right now. When you look at Tatum, the way he's playing, and if Giannis, let's say Giannis shuts one of those guys down, or at least contains one of those guys. If he contains Tatum, they still got Brown, or if he contains Brown, they still got Tatum. And then you still got Kemba Walker. And then, quietly, Daniel Theis. Where did they find this dude? This dude taking people off the dribble, 26 points, 15 rebounds. I mean, they got a lot of pieces on that ball club now.
Kanter can get you 22.
Mm-hmm.
Kanter can get you 20 on that Boston team, too. But where I'm at with Milwaukee, it's Eastern Conference champions or bust. If they can't, Middleton and some of those guys they got on that team, if they can't get it done this year, Giannis may be in Golden State, and that whole team might just break apart. I think this is it for. I think this is their window, and I think they think this is their window. But Tatum is the real deal. And somebody talked to him, and somebody told him, "Look, it's you. Kyrie Irving is gone. It's you. Let's get it going." And that boy is taking it up. But what I want to talk about, I want to end with, is what's going on this weekend. What are we viewing this weekend, especially since this show is on a Thursday? And if you're a sports fan, which I hope all of our radio listeners are, the XFL is going to have them another weekend, and their viewership is still holding up. We also got, this is the first weekend of the MSL. And one of the things I want to throw out there for you guys, Atlanta is going to play a brand new Nashville team. I don't know a lot about Nashville, but it's kind of odd for me to think that Nashville has a MLS team. What's that going to be like? What's that going to draw? Is that going to be popular in Nashville? Am I missing something about Nashville?
No.
They're playing Atlanta in the first MLS game this weekend. And we got a lot of stuff. And LeBron James is going to get his second shot at New Orleans this weekend on Sunday.
Nice.
If we can finally beat the Lakers. Hopefully we can find somebody other than Jrue Holiday to put on LeBron James.
Good luck with that.
Yeah. JQ, man, really praying for you, bro, because we know that's a tough thing to do, man, colonoscopy, getting to the age where we all got to get checked at some point. So,
JQ.
You mean
Gary.
I'm not Gary.
I'm not doing that. Gary.
You were just saying how old you were. You ain't that old, brother.
See what happens JQ? Don't claim to be old, brother.
I'm on my way to it, but I ain't doing it. I'm not doing it no time soon.
I'm
on my way.
Well, I want you, when you do, when all of you do, I do want you to think about bobsledding. And you will.
It's the worst thing I've ever done. And I've done two of them. And they're horrible.
Oh my gosh. Nice. Anyway, you guys, it's been an awesome time. Have a great, great week. I know we are ripping and running. The month of March is already upon us, man, so it's just time is flying by too, man. But, again, that means good thing we're getting close to spring, getting close to a lot of fun times. Football is going to be around the corner again. Obviously, we have NBA playoffs, all that fun stuff too. So, again, you guys have a great week. Please be safe. Much love, guys. Be good.
We're praying for you, Gary. Keep us posted, my brother.
Praying for you, Gary.
I'm going to give you guys a play-by-play.
No.
We'll need a play-by-play.
Confirmation
that all is well. That's all we need.
Oh, okay. I can do that. Hey, I am going to send you some pictures of Curtis and I at the with the people at the Diamond Project. I'm going to send that to you guys so you can check it out. And
cool. Yeah,
it's going to be fun. So hopefully we can get these people on. I'll email them tomorrow and I'll give you guys a shout out and let you know what's going on with that.
Good job.
Sounds
good. All right, fellas, have a good evening. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, people. Join us on.